It's time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American. What's going on out there, Ruth?
Well, big
what
news.
Happened? What happened with the what was it? Speed limit?
The camera.
That's it. The camera.
Caper. The camera caper. Yes.
Right. Oh, it was a great camera caper. I like it.
Yeah. So it was resoundingly defeated by a vote of 391-103.
Yeah, that's pretty much a no.
Yeah, which is, first of all, it's a big vote for a referendum, because as you know, when you have a Region 1 referendum, we're lucky if we get 50 votes. So,
unless they're really crabby about something.
Yeah.
Once in a blue moon.
Once in a blue moon. But, it was... obviously, people have many questions, concerns. Marty Lindenmeyer and I were there when the votes came in, and he said, well, I guess we'll have to find other ways, practical ways to deal with speeding. And so that was his comment. And later on in the week, I've talked to people who it was the idea of the car, not the driver, being ticketed. It was the idea of it wasn't welcoming to Kent, and it would perhaps hurt the businesses. People would avoid coming to Kent if they felt it was a speed trap. Several other issues, Big Brother, the whole thing. Of course, those in favor, still feel, and it is. It's a definite problem, speeding.
I have a question, and you may or may not know the answer to this. How much was this going to cost versus, say, and I don't know what the particulars are, of hiring someone to patrol? Like I said, I don't know the particulars, but
well,
how much is
the two cameras? It was the vote was going to be to after the first. There were two questions on the ballot. One was, do you want it? And secondly, if yes, are you willing to spend $46,000 for two cameras? Plus processing fees. And that's the other issue. There are so many unknowns.
Yeah, what does that mean?
We don't know what that means. We're not sure how much revenue would come in from these tickets, how much exactly the town gets. The other option, people are talking, well, hire a second trooper. That's an expensive proposition.
Well, that's up there in the six numbers, isn't it? $100,000 or better,
yeah.
Surely.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know how much you're making. You don't know how much the... people who are, for lack of a better term, processing the speeders are making off.
No,
I will give
that
you an
was
example,
not clear.
Which is really disheartening, but important, because with the situation that's going on in California, and I believe I mentioned this to Ruth yesterday, but Mike, I didn't have a chance to say it to you. Somebody actually said it was one of the people, one of the town or county executives. Got home. Her friend had been burnt out. She went to GoFundMe to donate to her friend $500, and there was a $95 processing fee, which is just usurious.
Right.
Which is, and usury, as far as I know, is illegal. Mm. But so I not knowing what the revenue quote from the processing. quote, would be not just to the town, but to the people who are doing the processing.
Mm-hmm.
You may be up there with a trooper. Who knows? If
probably not, but still.
If you have a resident state trooper, now this is something I'm not sure of. If they do give tickets that require payment, does that go to the state or to the town?
I believe that the town gets some little nugget.
Yeah, well, we're sure that the state takes the lion's share.
Yeah,
I have no doubt about that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the long short is people have common sense or at least would want to know more before committing to something.
Right.
Like that. That's fair.
And some would never vote for us. I mean, they were adamant, no matter what. They just didn't like the idea. So. And it's interesting because every other town has been watching this. Cornwall said it wanted to see what Kent does, and Salisbury is looking at it. So it may have a you know, a domino effect. I don't know.
You had said earlier that Washington was had
Washington has it. Washington's the only, so far, the only town in the state that has implemented this.
And
so,
are they using the company that Kent was looking at?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
They can afford. I was telling somebody another story way back when about a dinner that I went, and it was, you know, my relationship with Kent and Ruth, you know, this has nothing to do with you, but is from Route 7 kind of west. But I went to a very fancy dinner much closer to Washington, let's just say, on the east, the more east side of Kent. And I was literally amazed at the demographic, let's just say. You know, they could fully afford, they could afford five troopers, and they really wouldn't care who was driving their car. And I don't know what that line is geographically. I was just, as someone who always came up through Kent on Route 7 and, again, did my dealings to the west, cutting into Sharon and so forth, was quite shocked at the shall we say, let's call it the estate action there. There are a lot of wealthy people as you go that way.
Well, a lot of wealthy people all over
all
the
over.
Corner.
They're all
so,
hidden. You may not see them in Kent, but
now that
there are
we
plenty.
Have established there's lots of money in the northwest corner, let's move on.
Since we're not part of it, right?
That's right.
Correct.
We ain't getting it.
Don't forget, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. Moving on.
Okay. So we had a meeting yesterday. Sunday. At the Housing Trust. Sharon Housing Trust held a meeting at the Bach Gallery, which was filled. It was amazing how many people came out to hear the plans for the trust. As you know, they have purchased the three apartment houses. As you're coming into Sharon, well, past, if you're coming from Salisbury, past the shopping center and then the school, and right there are three houses and the community center. Those three houses now belong to the Housing Trust. They're still rental apartments, and they've gotten some grants to fix them up. They've got them in a very, I think they were generously given to them, and so the folks who live there will not be disturbed, and they will fix them up. The plan is to also get a lease from the town to put four apartments in that community center, which has really been pretty abandoned, so to speak, in the last few years. Needs a lot of work, but they feel that they can get, if they get all the funding, they can put in four nice apartments. Now, they are not. The plan is not to go to the state. They're looking for donations. So they plugged this donation bit the whole evening, the whole afternoon, because that's how they raise their funds. And the other issue is they were given a plot of land, as we talked about last week at Silver Shores. It's a 0.25-acre piece. It has sort of a shack that will come down. It has it has septic and water and a well, so that cuts off some of the pricing. And they they joked about it being waterfront because it's right on the lake. Looks, you know, it could be a beautiful little cozy spot. And they hope to build one unit affordable house there. So trust is 12 members, all volunteer, very busy, and the vibes in the room were very encouraging yesterday, so I think we'll see some action. I mean, there was a lot of statistics given, and then there's a film that they showed about all the affordable housing that's been done around the region. And as you well know, as you both know, affordable housing is the top of the list on all these towns, and that was brought out at the film and in the discussion. So we'll be following that to see how successful they are. It's a very committed group, so I think they will be successful. I was up at the high school last week. Chris Heron, who was a former pro basketball and is now a motivational speaker. He was a former drug user, was on his way up to a great career, and then he crashed because he got into drugs and alcohol, and now he spends the last 17 years, he goes around talking to mostly teenagers, teams, all kinds of groups, telling his story in the hopes that he can save at least one kid in that audience. It really was pretty mesmerizing. His story was really kind of interesting, and you can go online and read all about him, but it's devastating what drugs can do, and we all know that. But don't know how the response to the kids was. I'd be interested to hear what the teachers say. In Canaan, the selectmen have voted to rename or name the pavilion at Lawrence Field for Bunny McGuire. They did that at the meeting last week. They, people know Bunny is a very active member of the community. She's on a whole slew of lists and does beautification and library and historical society and you name it. She's involved and has been so. And so it was a very nice gesture. So that will become the Bunny McGuire Pavilion at Park, I guess they're going to call it, sometime in the spring. The Salisbury Board of Selectmen met and looked ahead at the year ahead. They do that pretty much every January on what issues they're going to be focusing on, budgets. They have a reval coming up, affordable housing, same sort of thing, traffic, speeding. We're hearing the same issues, obviously, in all these towns, but it was an interesting meeting listening to a look ahead. In Canaan, last night, the Planning and Zoning Commission heard the newest application for Honey Hill. I'm getting my Riverwoods, I think that's called, off Honey Hill. That's has been changed. You know, it went from a 20 lot, then it was going to be a 33 lot. Now it's back to a 20 lot because they did get a text amendment for dead end streets. So they were going to waive a hearing. Well, they were asked to waive a hearing by the engineer, George Johannesson, for this project. However, the lawyer for Housatonic Valley Association, and they want to become interveners on this, asked that it not be waived and that people have another opportunity to discuss this. So,
This is a public hearing?
Yes, public hearing.
I didn't know you could waive a public hearing.
Well, he's claiming they had held it already. However, they
right.
held it.
And when the whole, right, exactly.
But it changed, and then it's changed again.
But there's a substantial change. Yeah, if they heard on 30-some, now you're down to 20. That's
well,
a pretty significant change.
Well, they didn't hear.
Change.
They heard on 20, and then
oh, they heard
went
on
to 33.
20. Oh, okay.
So, but in effect, it's, you know, it's back and forth. And
let's
sounds
just say
like this
from a common sense standpoint, hello, it's not unreasonable, in my opinion, to say, well, hey, we were talking about something else. Let's get everyone back here.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see whether the board, the commission agrees to that. I will have to follow up.
Do you have any idea? What was the specifics about a dead-end road that was so important?
Well, they had a limitation on how long the road could be, and because there was concern about Highland Lane, the traffic, so they were rerouting it and making this cul-de-sac road longer than it would have been in the first go-around. And so that's what changed it. And there's a limit to how, in the regulations, not anymore, as to how long it can be. And now it's been changed to reconfigure so that the traffic is sort of taken off Highland Lane. It's quite confusing.
But, yeah, I'm thinking in the process you lose an amount of homes you can build. Yeah, this is thoroughly confusing.
Yeah. Well, they said, well, if we can't, then we have to increase the number of houses.
Yeah.
I'll
go all the way back to changing the law in the middle of the game is not, I'm sorry.
Can't do that?
Doesn't seem right.
Come on.
So, at some point, and then wanting
to waive a hearing. That's just interesting.
I've never heard asking to waive a hearing.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody
in
front of
today.
A board. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I want to waive that traffic ticket you gave me.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
oh, my goodness.
So,
and, okay, and last night we had Falls Village Board of Selectmen, Board of Finance. I will have to follow up on that one. And on Saturday night here in Kent, we have the second Robert Burns birthday party. Everybody comes out in their kilts and their bagpipes, and that's at 7 o'clock at the community house, and it's a fun evening. And
kilts and bagpipes?
Kilts and bagpipes, yeah.
Wow.
And haggis.
Ooh. Definitely haggis.
And what is? I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm stupid. What is haggis?
Yeah,
you'll look it up.
You know, yeah. If you read the ingredients, you wouldn't eat it. So,
Mike won't eat broccoli raw, so it's not really like he eats. But this is one that you should look up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we've got, folks.
Well, it's a pretty good.
As long as there's no hummus.
No.
I don't like it because I don't like what it looks like.
What was that?
I don't like hummus because I don't know what I don't like what it looks like.
Mike moment now. What Mike? What?
Talking about things I won't eat because it doesn't look right.
Okay. Well, we don't know whether that makes you closed-minded or smart.
No, that means I have.
We'll leave you with somewhere in the middle, and we will say to Ruth, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for the. You enlarged upon certain things, but we've got more. Let's just say more enlargement to come.
I don't get to pontificate about food that I see before I eat.
No, you don't.
Okay.
So
too bad. That would have been interesting.
I'll have to talk to Arthur about this.
There you go.
Moving
right.
What's going on out there, Ruth? With Ruth Epstein.
There you go.
Let's redo that again.
Ruth who?
Epstein of the Republican American.
I get that a lot. Ruth who?
Oh, there you go. No, but let me add then on Robin Hood Radio.